Thanks for listening to Schlereth and Evans On Demand. Did you know you can listen to us on Alexa? Enable our skill today, then say, Alexa, play 104.3 The Fan.
Are you ready?
Let's clear the air with Mark Schlereth.
It's gone from suck to blow.
What?
All right, I'm going with my Jinxie Cat ways. I learned from the master, Mike Evans, when it comes to Jinxie Cat, and I'm going to go ahead and throw it out there. The Nuggets guarantee a Nuggets victory tonight over San Antonio. And you know, my reasoning is this. I hated the way they finished, and I told you guys I hated the way they finished the season, going 5-6 down the stretch in the last 11 games, kind of resting players, and they lost a little bit of their mojo. They lost a little bit of their groove, and I think they got smacked in the face come playoff time. They weren't ready for the intensity. They didn't adjust well. They didn't knock down their shots. They weren't ready for the closeouts that got hands in their face while they were shooting wide open shots that all of a sudden weren't wide open shots. They did not adjust well, and San Antonio did. I think you've learned a very valuable lesson. And for the Joker, dude, be the alpha male. When it comes time to be the alpha male, sometimes, listen, you got to be an unselfish player. You got to put your teammates first. You got to do all those things to be championship worthy. But there comes a time when you are the guy where you got to take matters into your own hands, where you've got to convert, where you've got to get to the foul line. You went to the foul line one time. You shot 9 times. I ain't going to get it done. So I think you learn from your mistakes. You knock down more shots. And when you have to be aggressive, it's not time to defer. It's time to take it to the 10. And I think you're going to see that tonight from the Denver Nuggets. That's why I'm guaranteeing a Nuggets victory tonight when they get their titties on the hardwood.
That was awesome.
Clear the air with Mark Schlereth.
Okay. I like what you're selling right there. I think this does shape up. You got a team that certainly did not look comfortable on the playoff stage for the first time for this group ever.
Mm-hmm.
And I think having had a couple days to sort of digest it all, I think they'll be much more relaxed. They'll come out. They'll play better. I think couple that with a San Antonio team that already got what they came here for was a split. They're very comfortable with the idea going back home. So I think that lends to a Nuggets win tonight. But I could not agree more. And the excuse making, the spin that came out of the game one loss, that, well, you know, Nikola Jokic, you got to understand, he's the best passing center maybe of all time. This is what he does. I'm sorry. We go back to what the definition of a superstar is. Well, in the NBA, we know who the stars are, who the superstars are, and superstars in a close playoff game at home are not tied for fourth on their own team for most shots attempted.
Mm-hmm.
That's the case of Jokic in game one. He had 9 shot attempts. He was tied with Paul Millsap for fourth behind Jamal Murray, Will Barton, and Gary Harris. I'm sorry, I can't have Will Barton shooting the ball more times than Nikola Jokic. I can't have Nikola Jokic taking 4 more shots than Mason Plumlee took. Okay? So, he can still be the best passing big man we've seen in a long, long time and still take 15, 16 shots, you know? He can do it both.
Yeah. Mason Plumlee should change his name.
To what?
Well, you think Mason, you think in brickwork, you think in masonry, right?
Good point.
Mason Concrete.
Yeah, it's not a good basketball name.
Now, Plumlee, like, you sound like a plumber, like you got your butt crack exposed and you're fixing a refrigerator, you know? I mean, Mason Plumlee. Mason Concrete. That'd be great.
Plumlee Plumbing.
Right. Come on down. Anyhow.
Need your drains unplugged?
Yes.
Call Plumbling. So that's the call tonight, and I can't, I will not, and I agree with you, I will not throw Jinxie Cat at you tomorrow.
Yeah, no.
I'm
telling
apocalyptic
you.
Reason the Nuggets lose.
Right. I do think that you make a great point, and this goes to the mentality. This is why championship organizations win championships, because they've developed a culture of let's stomp people out. Let's just absolutely step on people's throats. And I think they had that culture years ago. I don't know that culture is still 100% in existence under Greg Popovich now with the Spurs, like it used to be with the players they had when they had Tim Duncan, you know, up and down the court. But
like, I think you make a great point. Like, you come out thinking about a split. You're like, you're preaching, hey, guys, we got to go in here and split. And you've already accomplished the split. And I do think there is a bit of human nature to letting your guard down. Now you change the narrative, but you established the narrative in the beginning. Now you change the narrative. Hey, let's get a sweep here. Let's get a sweep here and ruin the Nuggets' first playoff, you know, the first playoff trip in however many years.
Looking forward today to hearing from Joe Flacco, who's going to be speaking as part of the Broncos veterans who are going to be out there working out. We'll also hear from Vic Fangio. But Joe Flacco, what do you anticipate hearing from Joe?
Oh.
What do you want to hear from Joe?
I mean,
I think Joe's reacting to this Peter King talk that the Broncos are infatuated with Dwayne Haskins. Wear a John Elway jersey to the job interview. Smart move. That might be the thing that changed it all. It'll go down in Bronco lore.
That is not.
The jersey.
That is not. Come on. Do you think John really like, oh, that's funny? Like, do you really think he, like, the reports were, hey, I thought it was funny, it was clever, blah, 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 blah. Do you think it was really, like, funny or clever? Or, like, that's what you say, and deep down inside, you're like, toolbox, take him off the board.
Well, if Peter King is indeed right, and they were to take Dwayne Haskins, then it certainly didn't hurt. Certainly wasn't a deal breaker.
What's the equivalent, Mike? What would be the equivalent? Like, you're interviewing somewhere, what would be the equivalent?
Maybe in this case, this is appropriate. This fits. I mean, you want to be an NFL player? You claim that this guy was one of your heroes, your mentors, your idols growing up that you tried to emulate and copy. Maybe it's not the worst thing.
It'd be like you
maybe things have changed.
Doing a job interview here, right? And you hadn't worked here before, but you know, like, the guy who runs the show here is Bob Call.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be like you having one of those tuxedo T-shirts with a picture of Bob Call on it, like his face on the T-shirt, and then you had a jacket over the top that was a 104.3, like the clown jacket, you know, it just had 104.3 plastered all over it.
You think that'd be a little bit too desperate?
He'd just
look at me and say, toolbox?
Like, yeah, you're like, really, idiot? Hey, thanks for, you know, it's like, hey, man, you're in consideration. Thanks for stopping by. And as soon as you walk out of the office, you just throw the resume in the trash. Maybe I'm too harsh. Maybe that's just.
Got to understand. New way of doing things. These kids today. And John Elway is certainly contemporary.
Yeah. He's changing the name from Broncos country to Broncos land.
There you go. He's avant-garde. He's ahead of the change. All right. Pedro Gomez, our ESPN baseball insider, is going to join us. Are the Rockies back on the road to recovery? That's next.
This is Steve.
Hi.
Steve loves manila folders.
It's true.
That's why he started a company supplying manila folders to large corporations.
In both white and eggshell.
What Steve doesn't love is spending time paying suppliers and browsing for loans. Luckily, First Bank offers time-saving treasury management tools and business loans, so you can spend more time with your passion. Even if it's manila folders.
In both white and eggshell.
Okay, Steve. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC. Go to efirstbank.com/business for more details.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Our baseball insider from ESPN, the great Pedro Gomez, joins us for our weekly chat. It's presented by Blake Street Tavern. Pedro, good morning. How are you?
Mark, I am doing well, and I guess the Rockies are doing a little bit better.
Yeah, there's no question about that, Pedro. I mean, the last two performances, but the let me take you back, not last night, but the game before against the San Francisco Giants, Marquez, and the job that he did throwing the one hitter, taking the one hitter in the eighth inning, or giving up the hit in the eighth inning. Just put some perspective on what he was able to accomplish in getting that victory.
I mean, look, it's the San Francisco Giants offense, which is not one of the better offenses in the game. There's no doubt that you know, they can be pitched to. But the bigger issue or the bigger thing he did is, look, he stopped a losing streak. And that's what you want from your top pitchers. When things are going rough, you need one of your top guys to stop losing streaks, which is why they are called stoppers. So, you know, he probably falls in line behind Kyle Freeland when it comes to ranking Rocky starters, but Marquez has nasty, nasty stuff. You talk to hitters around the league, and they mention Germán Marquez as a guy who is capable of being an elite-level pitcher. So, yeah, it's one game, but, you know, he did have a very good season last year. And it's the Giants, which is not a great offense, but nonetheless, you did go to a major league game and you saw somebody with a no hitter deep into the game. And those are the type of things that really tend to elevate someone's confidence. And it's going to be really fascinating to see what he does his next time, the time after that. Because you can really, really build off of something like that.
Yeah, it takes the mound every single time. He's got no-hit potential. Pedro Gomez, our guest. Pedro, where should Rockies fans be right now with this team? They're 5-12. They've been able to win a couple in a row, but still a long way to go. Is it as simple as just kind of keeping blinders on? Let's get back to 500 first and then kind of take it from there.
You absolutely have to get to 500 before you start thinking of anything. So, yeah, there's still a mountain to climb here. I think more than anything, though, you look at the way Bud Black has handled these first few weeks, and that's where, if you're a Rockies fan, you take some solace. You want a veteran manager. You want someone that's not going to freak out when things are going poorly. You know, Black has managed 12 years in the big leagues, and he's had some clubs that were not very good clubs in San Diego from time to time, but they always tended to compete. They always tended to overachieve to a degree. And, you know, he gets to Denver, takes the Rockies to the postseason both years he's been there. So this is why you pay a manager. This is why you want a veteran manager. You want someone to steady the ship when things are going poorly. And that's one of Bud Black's biggest strengths. You talk to Rockies players, I've talked to them, you know, for the last few years since Bud Black has been there, there's never anything bad to be said about Bud Black. And I'm including private conversations where guys might open up a little bit about a manager.
Although, does it surprise you at all? Because it did surprise me a little bit when they lost on Saturday and you had players coming out saying this can't continue. The changes have to be made. Significant change. And these were veteran players. So does Bud have to almost ignore his players at that point?
Absolutely. And that's why you want a veteran manager. You want someone that has been through there before, both as a player and as a manager. Bud Black knows you cannot just, you know, toss everything into the waste can and say, let's start over right now. And that's where Bud Black's one of his strengths. He just continues. The players were frustrated, and that's why they were saying those type of things. There's no doubt. Look, things were going horribly. Everyone there's no disguising the horrible 2 weeks that the Rockies had there. And it's not to say they're out of it now just because they've won twice. But, boy, you've got to feel better. Nolan Arenado has homered 2 straight games, in which you need. Ian Desmond has a huge game last night. These are the types of things where when Bud Black says, Desmond is coming around, Desi is coming around, I'm not going to freak out and just bench the guy. Well, hey, it's easy for fans to say, let's go, throw him overboard, and let's pick the next guy. That's why you want someone in that manager's chair who's going to be a calming influence, because when things are going poorly, that's what you need.
You know, I thought one of the guys last night that really impressed me, and you've seen some growth out of him, is Sensatella. 96 with sync on his fastball last night. really had great, not only, you know, run, but great depth on his slider last night. He's really improved his off-speed pitches, and he's a guy 7 2/3 last night. He's a guy, or 6 2/3 last night, excuse me. He's a guy to me that could be a real difference maker in the back end of rotation that has really struggled to start the season.
No doubt, no doubt. And, you know, he's got good stuff. What he doesn't have is experience. He doesn't have a lot of experience. And that's, again, I point to the Rockies having basically three pitching coaches on that staff. They've got Foster, the pitching coach. You've got Bud Black, a former pitching coach and a former big league pitcher. Then you've got Darren Holmes, a former big league pitcher and the bullpen coach out there. So you've got guys that are going to help this young staff. And Sensatella is going to, you know, look, when you win, you need more than one or two guys. You need a staff to come through, which is what they've had the last couple of years. Sensatella's got to be one of those guys that picks it up. He's not going to be great every time out because of the lack of experience. But, you know, and he's basically learning at this level, but he has got the stuff to be successful.
Yeah, there is no question about that. Hey, Pedro, really appreciate you, man. Always great catching up. Thank you so much. And hopefully you stay on this win streak.
All right, Mark. I'll talk to you soon. Take care, guys.
Yep. All right, there he is, Pedro Gomez, our Major League Baseball insider from ESPN. He's presented by Blake Street Tavern. The four down territory is coming your way. Russell Wilson just got paid. Do you start to look at the Joe Flacco deal by comparison and starting to maybe set up as a bit of a bargain? That's next.
I want Mason glory hole.
This is four down territory.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
Pound it, launch it, and bring the funk.
Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
I want to kiss you.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah. You just don't flop it out there and expect to perform like that.
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan. First down.
Hey, Seattle, we got a deal, but I'm going to see y'all in the morning.
That was Russell Wilson. What was it, about 1 o'clock?
Like 1:45, I think. Yeah, like 1:45. I think 12:45 Pacific time.
Russell Wilson is now the NFL's highest paid quarterback. It's a 4-year, $140 million extension that includes a $65 million signing bonus. And he sets the average annual salary at $35 million per season. So he just blew past Aaron Rodgers with the deal. Do you believe Russell Wilson deserves the title as highest paid NFL quarterback?
Sure. He's just setting the market. Somebody else will come over and jump over here eventually. But here's what's interesting this offseason. Like the power shift. How about Antonio Brown making a power play to get himself out of Pittsburgh? And how about Russell Wilson giving an imposed deadline, April 15th, I need a deal done by midnight. They get the deal done at midnight. 45 minutes later, he's laying in bed, announcing it to Seahawk Nation, you know, or what do they call that, number the 12s. But the power plays right now, like, this is the first time in my memory of, you know, playing and covering this game that players have ever kind of dictated to organizations.
Is, by extension now, the Joe Flacco contract actually a bit of a bargain? I mean, you're talking about with the way that contracts are escalating, mm-hmm. He's set to make $18.5 million with zero dead cap money. And if he works out, you still get him under contract for two more years after that at $20 and $24 million.
He's a huge bargain. And, you know,
if he could play.
Right. And then, you know, it even opens you up if you're, you know, on the DMAC bandwagon. Just draft a quarterback. Any quarterback, doesn't matter which one. If you draft one at 10, they're all going to be Hall of Famers. So you can, whether it's Daniel Jones or Drew Locke or Haskins or, you know, any of it. Even if you got Will Greer at number 10. If he's number 10, the guy's going to be a superstar. So it opens you up.
Next on Four Down Territory.
Second down.
Four-man front here for Clemson. They show blitz. Now they back out of it. Finley takes a shotgun snap. Looks, throws, has a complete Samuels touchdown.
Wolf Pack Radio. Oh,
mm-hmm. We're kind of the Wolf Pack here, this show, right?
We are the Wolf Pack.
The lone wolves?
Why are we the Wolf Pack? Because wolves do not concern themselves with the opinions of sheep.
That's right.
So...
there we are, the Wolfpack.
Mel Kiper Jr., he had the glorious hair, put together a three-round mock draft for every team. And for the Broncos, he has them taking Ed Oliver, defensive tackle Houston, in the first round. Dalton Risner, the cooler, the offensive tackle from Kansas State. And Wiggins, Colorado, in the second round. And
you are the bouncers. I am the cooler.
And Ryan Finley, one of two khaki pants quarterbacks I identified back when this whole process began. He actually has Ryan Finley going to the Broncos in the third round.
It's nice, right?
Oh, would that be funny?
Oh, my gosh.
I don't think it's going to happen, but oh, would that be funny?
Be awesome. I don't know, Mike. I've told you this. I think the Giants are nestled up under the arm. John Elway looking longingly up. You know,
the just eyes. Nuzzling.
Yeah, just saying, please do a deal with us. I think
they're moving back.
I think the Broncos are moving back. I think the Giants are going to move into the 10th spot.
I would have
from
no
17 to 10
problem with that.
Then you get those extra picks at the a little bit lower there. You can pick up
an extra second. You pick up an extra third. Right. All of a sudden,
you can take a quarterback. There you go.
There you go. Next in four down territory.
Third down.
Wentz slant. Jeffrey, touchdown. Wentz grabbed the snap, threw to Jeffrey, who slanted and leaned in for the score.
Eagles radio. Carson Wentz says the stress fracture in his back is still healing. Quote, it's still getting there. It's still getting there. You know, for all the talent and potential that Carson Wentz possesses, are you starting to worry that this guy just might be one of those athletes that come along that is just snake bit by injuries his entire career? Never really maxes out because of injuries?
I think you always have to be concerned with that, Mike. I think that's one of those things that you look at and you hope that that doesn't, you know, hamstring a guy throughout his career. But we've seen it before. You know, we've seen guys, and the problem that you get into is once you've had one injury, your body just has a natural ability to compensate for that injury, and you end up screwing other things up. Especially when, you know, you get these repetitive use injuries because you've got to do the same thing over and over and over again. And so then your body starts compensating to make sure that it can overcome whatever injury you had. And that's when other things start stacking up and start bothering you. It's kind of a vicious cycle, if you will.
Next in four down territory.
Fourth down. I mean, Chris is one of the best cornerbacks in the league, so I think he deserves to get paid, and he deserves to do whatever he feels is right for himself. It's you know, he already did his, you know, discount deal, so it's time for him to get his money, and that's how he feels. So I think everybody can relate to that, right?
Pay the man his money, says Derek Wolfe in regards to Chris Harris, who continues to stay away from Bronco workouts. Not that that's a big deal. You look around the league and you're seeing some veterans who are staying away. Tom Brady staying away from the Patriots workouts. So is Michael Bennett. So it seemed to work out okay for them. But are you starting to, you know, believe that nothing is going to be resolved with Chris Harris, that the Broncos really do mean business? We're going to wait until this draft is over, see how it plays out, see what falls to us before we do anything with Chris Harris.
Yeah, they seem to put their line in the sand. And here's the thing. I want to see Chris Harris Jr. get paid, because I don't think you're going to find something that's better than Chris Harris Jr. in the draft. And for the Broncos, it's not like he can go anywhere. And yeah, he may have hurt feelings right now, but as soon as he becomes one of the highest paid corners in football, guess what? All is right in the world. We're okay now. And it's not like Chris Harris Jr. needs to do anything, whatever, you know, patty cake games they're playing over there right now. Come on. That's one of the best in the business and has been for years. You think running around in your underpants is going to make you be like, oh, he's missing underpants drills. Oh, it's not going to have any effect on him on, you know, come September. So I think, you know, they have a chance to play it out here. They need to pay him. They got a chance to play it out.
Well, wait a minute. They don't need to pay him. If the draft goes a way that they like and they come away with
no.
a cornerback,
saying,
they may just decide, hey, trade him.
I'm saying they need to pay him. They need to compensate him. if he's going to stay here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. If he's going to stay here, they need to compensate him.
He is under contract.
Well, yeah.
They don't have to.
No, they don't.
And you really think he's going to sit out? You think Chris Harris... Come on, Mark. This is why the NFL rules, because they know they got the players ultimately under their thumb. How many Le'Veon Bells are out there? Le'Veon Bell is a special, special case.
It takes one. Chris Harris Jr. has made a ton of money. It takes one guy to open up those floodgates. Look what's happened. Le'Veon Bell did it. The next thing you know who else is empowered? Antonio Brown. Then you know who else is in power? Russell Wilson. Give me my money.
Whoa. Le'Veon Bell's the only one that was willing to sacrifice game checks.
I understand that. But you know what? He did it. And there was actually, who was a defensive player that sacrificed game checks years ago?
That's my point. You can only come up with a couple of examples over the course of years and years.
I understand that, but we've got three examples of players here just this offseason making power plays. I'm just telling you, for the good of the organization, you need to pay him. You don't have to. You need to. There's a difference between have to and need to.
For the good of the organization. Speaking of hockey, that'll do it for Four Down Territory, our tour around the NFL. Bring that to you each and every morning at 7:30.
It's like going shopping at Nordstrom's and your wife says, I need these shoes. I go, no, you want those shoes. You don't need those shoes.
Good point.
Right?
Good point. We're going to give you a chance to win tickets to our fan war room for our special war room draft special coming up next week. That's coming up. Plus, why was this the most dominant Avalanche playoff win in over 15 years? We'll tell you next.
You're listening to Schlereth and Evans on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
All right, let's take a little look here at what's going on the RamosLaw.com text line. 303-713-1043. But first, as promised, how would you like to sit in on our fan war room as we will preview the NFL draft next week? Join us next week on Wednesday at our fan war room draft special. Be the fourth caller right now to win a pair of VIP tickets, front row seats. We'll feed you. We'll take caller number four right now at 303-713-1043. 303-713-1043. You want to be in on these fireworks. Remember, this was last year at this indeed same war room when D-Mac yelled at you.
Right.
Yelled at you when you suggested that the Broncos should take Bradley Chubb. He went ballistic saying, Mark, there is absolutely no way they will draft Bradley Chubb because they never talked to him.
You're right.
Stupid. It's a waste of time for you to advocate taking Bradley Chubb. They didn't talk to him.
Right. Little did D-Mac know they didn't talk to Derek Wolfe either, and they ended up drafting him. The whole thing was ridiculous. Yeah, we got heated in the. That was a great war room, by the way.
It was
a heated war room.
It was good. It was great.
A lot of people angry. Very angry.
You gotta get mean!
Let's get to the RamosLaw.com text line. Here we go. This is from Oilfield Kevin.
Really?
Kevin in the oil patch.
The patch.
You radio heads all want Harris. The Broncos don't need him. He can only play slot. He's too slow outside. Not worth the money. Pay him too much money at the position. Trade him.
Listen, oil can. Here, this is what's crazy to me about how little you actually know. Playing the slot is infinitely more difficult than playing outside, and it has nothing to do with speed. And Chris Harris has never been the fastest corner. I mean, if you lined him up with the 20 guys, the 20 elite corners in this league, which he is one of them, he'd probably come in 20th in a 40. Has nothing to do with it. By the way, playing outside is easier. You know why? Because anything outside the numbers, when a guy comes outside the numbers, you've got the sideline as an extra defender. So you funnel guys, you leverage guys. I mean, it's infinitely more difficult to play in the slot. You know what? Like what I do for a living, studio, or you know, when I'm calling games or studio, it's infinitely more difficult to call a game than it is to be in studio and do studio work. Studio work is easy. It's far easier to play outside. It has nothing to do with speed, oil can. Understand, you got an extra defender. There's a sideline defender.
Oil can. You're hitting close to my heart on that one. That's good. Ryan in Missouri.
Uh-huh.
Show me, Ryan. Ryan says, picking a quarterback in the third round would be an absolute waste. Yeah, just like picking Russell Wilson in the third round.
I like this guy.
Or Nick Foles in the third round. I mean, if it's a waste in the third round, imagine wasting a fourth round pick on, I don't know, Kirk Cousins or Dak Prescott. I mean, why in the world would you do that? Such a waste. Oh my God.
I actually like that guy. That guy's on to something right there.
Brian?
Yeah. It's never a waste to pick good football players. It's never a waste, Mike.
We got an email.
Ooh.
Yes, people still send emails to us sometimes. This is from Jody, snobby, no better hockey fan.
Okay. All right.
Mark, I believe it's time, my friend, to eat your bowl of crow and admit that you were wrong about this Avalanche team. Thank you, Evans, for trying to educate Mark on the idea that a solid outing and an educational loss in game one for a young team does not mean doom and gloom in this sport. This is the fork in the road for you, Stink. Will you continue with the football do right now or die mentality, or will you own your horrible early knee-jerk reaction to this team? Let's hear it, brother.
One, I picked them to win this series. Two, that was an awful 4-0 defeat in game one. Have they bounced back? Yeah. Did they play great last night? Absolutely. Absolutely.
But, well, so, let me see if I can...
No, because, you know what?
You guys were all like,
oh, it nothing to see here. The only reason the Avs didn't win that is because, you know, Mike Smith stood on his head. Now stop, you know. Was it Mike Smith? Is that the guy's name?
Or as you like to call him, Schmitty.
Schmitty. Stood on his head.
Put an SH in there.
Yeah.
For Smith. Schmitty.
You know, I mean, no. Nobody stood on their head. They got, you know what? They got outplayed. Am I going to panic? Yeah. That's how I'm wired. I'm always going to be nervous. Just like I hated the way the Nuggets finished the season, I hated the way they opened up. Well, we just didn't knock down shots. You got to find a way to be better. And they were great last night. Don't get me wrong, but am I going to sit here and say, "Oh, mighty Avalanche fan, you are so wise." You know, Avs fan acts like nobody else knows anything about sports. Avs fan is like the guy. Avs fan is like the guy that's the first guy to really recognize some grunge band. And doesn't want it to get popular, right? Oh, and if it gets popular, I knew, I watched them first. I was the first guy ever to talk about that particular band. So you can't even talk about them now that they're popular. Shut up.
Avalanche lost game one by 4 goals.
Mm-hmm.
They won last night by 4 goals. You're going to try to tell me that those were identical four-goal losses, that Calgary can feel as good about their 4-goal loss last night as
Calgary.
The Avs can feel about their 4-goal? Or maybe
Calgary took it.
They both should feel as bad as they... They should both feel as bad equally about their 4-goal losses?
No.
No way.
No, Calgary got their... Calgary got their ass handed to them. What I'm saying is to sit there and say, hey, Calgary lost by four goals because Grubauer stood on his head.
Right.
That's garbage.
Good point. That's a great point. That's a great point. And I think that we called out the people who were saying, well, you know, the Avs lost game one because Schmitty stood on his head. And we were quick to point out, no, that wasn't the reason. The reason was they didn't skate well enough. They didn't play with enough confidence. They didn't play with enough grit. They didn't play with enough fortitude.
Mm-hmm.
And what you saw last night when they did put all of those elements together.
Right.
Schmitty had no chance.
No.
The Flames had no chance.
I'm telling you, one of the things that I was most impressed with, obviously, was they out fought for the puck. They out hustled. They won those scraps in the corners. They got to the puck. And the precision passing of the Avalanche last night was amazing. I mean, they had... We used to say this all the time, like in blitz pickup and stuff, get your head on a swivel. Like, they had the proverbial heads of the Flames on a swivel. Like, it was stick to stick to stick. There was one goal that was stick to stick to stick. Boom, 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 boom. And it was McKinnon's second goal.
Right.
But it was just like, holy masterful job. It was great. But you know what? One of the things I always find fascinating, like, I always catch myself. Like, some of the names. Like, I was thinking to myself last night as I was watching the game, Kerfoot. Right? And I'm thinking to myself, it sounds like something you get. Ugh. I'm going to miss 2 weeks at work. What happened? Well, you know how I've been limping around?
Yep.
I got Kerfoot. You know what I'm saying? Or like, hey, I took my wife to dinner. It was a great dinner. But then it just went all sour. What happened? Oh, I stepped on her Kerfoot. You know, I just...
You're amazing.
I just start thinking about... And then I started thinking, like, I could make a whole scenario of, like, just using Avalanche names in like, substituting the names for certain things and make a whole story just using names. I think I can do it. Just got to...
You're at the beach, you know, and everyone's, you know, basking in the sun. Everyone's like, hey, why aren't you taking your shirt off? Because I got the Kerfoot.
How come you got your shoes on the beach? Oh, shoot. Kerfoot.
Ooh!
I hate that.
All right, so Kerfoot, by the way, went to Harvard. So,
Harvard?
He's got that going for him.
He's a Harvard
man?
He's
a Harvard guy.
How you like them apples?
That's right. But you're absolutely right about the way they played yesterday. They played, to call what they were playing last night confident hockey is an insult to confidence. I mean, this was a team that was skating like they knew they couldn't be caught. They were skating like they knew they couldn't be touched. They were passing with absolute 100% confidence that their passes were going to get through. It was a team that was playing as loose, freewheeling, confident, almost arrogant hockey as you can imagine. Like, you can't keep up with us. And I thought one of the more telling scenes was, I mean, the game was kind of already out of reach, but the Avalanche were on a power play. Excuse me, Calgary was on a power play.
Mm-hmm.
14 seconds into the power play, a Calgary player just hooked an Avalanche player because of the fear and the intimidation that they were ready to take off the other way. They had already scored one short-handed goal. They've had a couple shorties in this series. And because they were skating with such impunity, they just the Calgary player was so fearful and so intimidated that he reached out and hooked on a power play. 14 seconds into that power play. That told me, I made a note of that. I'm like, ooh. They are so far crawled up into the Flames' head right now. And, Mark, this is why. I mean, I like the Avs to win the series before this series began. And I am even more confident right now because we look at this through the Avalanche prism. But let's look at it through the Calgary prism right now, okay? Mm-hmm. And put yourself, you being a former athlete, you try to put yourself in the heads of the Flame players right now. You've got, collectively, this group has nothing to draw on. No playoff resume, no playoff success to draw on. So when you're down 2-1, you know deep in your heart that you've been outplayed for 2.5 games. You just got throttled by easily the most dominating performance of any team in the playoffs so far this year. What do you have to draw on to regain control of a series that is rapidly spinning out of control?
Well, you don't,
Calgary.
Like, you don't have a lot to draw on, Mike, but I think the one thing, like, honesty in being honest with yourself is important. And I think one thing you sit down and do is say, hey, man, we've gotten dominated. Now, we out-hit them. You know, from a hits tally last night, they had 43, we had 36. But I think one of the things you can do is you can sit down there and be honest with yourself. You can put on the film and say, man, we got out-hustled. Like, you can control that. And there was fear. There was, you know, a pucker factor. Like I said about McKinnon earlier, you know, it's like the Randy Moss saying, if he's even, he's leaving. And, you know, drawing hooking penalties and things of that nature. But I will tell you this. When you get into those situations, Mike, then it becomes time to make it a street fight. Let's slow this thing down. Let's really start leaning on guys. And because you cannot, athletically speaking, like the difference between the two teams I watched last night, it was men amongst boys athletically.
Okay, but you're saying, okay, Calgary needs to come out. They need to be more physical. Two problems with that. Speed never has an off day, and I don't think they can keep up with the Avs. Secondly, the let's knock them around, let's play physical, only matters if the Avalanche take the bait, if they get caught up in that. Otherwise, if they don't, you know what Calgary ends up doing? Spending time in the penalty box because their attempts to goon it up or their attempts to get rough and try to beat them down, we'll just end up in penalties.
So you say just wave the white flag then? No, you don't wave the white flag,
but I think there has to be an admission right now that we are not the better team. We may be the number one seed. They may be number eight, but they're kicking our butts right now.
And that's exactly what I'm saying. So, I mean, you can't do the same thing you just did for two games.